Sometimes it's difficult, no?
Right.
Have you experienced when you are in the, you know, in the dining room, that you have this beautiful meal that you wanted to taste it, and then suddenly there is a fly. Something like that is going to happen this morning with my sermon. There will be some flies flying around you, but please just open your ears and your mind to listen to the word of God this morning. I would like to start saying that today most churches in the United States live in a crossroad. Most of the mainline Protestant churches are declining and are surviving. That's true. From 1972 to 1993, the percentage of Protestants in the U.S. remained fairly stable at about 63%. However, by 2002, the number had dropped to 52%, and now is like 40%. Protestants are in a steady decline, according to Martha Grace Rees. While we see the world advancing and changing, our churches are stuck in traffic of confusion and hopelessness, particularly in disciples. I have visited I don't know how many churches in the country that are almost in the same situation. But this morning I will preach about two stories that can help us to illustrate the way how churches are living and serving into the world. The story of the Tower of Babel. Do you know that story? Genesis 11. And the story of the event of Pentecost in the book of Acts, chapter 2. I'm going to start with the scripture of Genesis that is not here in the slides, but you can pay careful attention. The scripture says, "Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved its world, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They say to each other, 'Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They use brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth.' But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, 'If as one people speak in the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other.' So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth." When we read this story, most people think that the problem of this generation was to build a tower. But that was not the problem. That's what traditionally we have heard, no? All the time we are listening about the tower. The story has been known around the world because of the tower, but seriously, what I consider the main problem of this narrative is the city. Let's come and build a city with a tower. But not a tower with a city. "Come, let us build ourselves a city." These people found a place. Their main purpose was to build a city with bricks only for them. It seems to me that there was not a space for others to come and share in community or in the community. Here we can see one of the greatest problems in many churches today. Brothers and sisters, they have built a church only for them. Many congregations find a place to be settled, built a temple with beautiful windows decorated with stained glasses and many doors, and a huge auditorium, but the church remains closed 6 days a week. The story also tells us that the people wanted to build a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. I visited the capital of Austria, Salzburg, in 2014. It's a beautiful small city surrounded by hills, mountains, and a river across the city downtown. In the city, there is an 11th century fortress on a hilltop with a length of 820 feet and a width of almost 500 feet. Feet or foot?
Feet.
Thank you. I wanted to see if you are paying attention. It's one of the largest medieval castles in Europe. The fortress has several towers on it, almost one in each corner. Let me ask you, church, who lived in the castle?
The king.
The king. Who else?
Queen.
You know, the richest family. The king, the queen, you know. Why did a castle have a tower?
Was he the enemy?
Because of the enemies? What else?
The amazing view.
Yeah, I don't think so. Now, yes, but not in those days. Who remained in the tower?
The guards.
The guards, no? Are you agree with that?
Yeah.
Who's not agree? Get out. No, I'm not. Just kidding. The guards, no? A tower is a symbol of the panopticon system. Do you know what is panopticon?
No.
I'm sorry, I quit. Just kidding. I'm sorry, I'm very theological today. It means that the guard in the tower can see everyone. But no everyone can see the guard. That's a panopticon. In a jail, you can see a tower where there is a man with a gun, you know? Yes. He's controlling every prisoner in the jail system. The tower is a symbol of control and power. Let me give you or illustrate what I'm trying to say. I served as an associate pastor in a church in Grand Junction, Colorado. A white congregation hired me to lead a Hispanic group. In just a few months, I could see and experience firsthand the tension between the Latino-Latina community and the white church. They were discriminated and labeled as opportunists. That is, they saw Latino-Latinas as those who took advantage of the circumstances of the system to gain advantage or immediate advantage rather than being guided by consistent principles or plans. They were watching over us all the time and controlling everything. We can refer to this situation as a panopticon church with a guard tower. In one of the meetings, with the board meetings, I told them, you opened a space for immigrants in this temple, but you never opened your hearts. Mm-hmm. You opened the doors for them, but you still hold the keys. Mm-hmm. Do you know some churches like this, that they have built a church with a tower? I mean, I'm not saying that this church is like that. I'm saying that's the situation that is happening in many churches and disciples. They want to have a church only for them. They want to control everything. They want to be settled in one place. Finally, this story in the book of Genesis narrates that they wanted to build a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that they can make a name for themselves. One of the main problems of these people in this story was the pride. They wanted to get fame. They wanted to be famous. They wanted to be renowned based on the city and the tower they would build. And we know how the story ends up with God intervening and confusing their language. This story of the city and the Tower of Babel illustrates how many churches are living today in our country. And it's difficult to talk about that. When you are in a church and you try to speak about power dynamics, let me say, that is not easy. I served in a church where 40 people belonged to the same family. Wow. Wow, and that was so difficult to talk about. Today we would like to use this cup and put it here. No! 40 were protesting. But I think, my church, there is another story recounted in the book of Acts, chapter 2. When the Spirit falls into that community of believers in Jerusalem. And let's read this story together. Would you like to read this story with me?
Yes.
I think we have it here in the screen, no?
Yes.
Oh, we have the New International Version, or I don't know. Let me read it here, and you can follow there in the screen. I think it's the same. I'm going to read it in Spanish. Oh, just kidding. Cuando llegó el día de Pentecostés. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they ask, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others sneered and say, they are filled with new wine." This morning we're going to do something different. If you see, we switch a little the order of the worship service. Today we're going to switch the sermon also. You're going to try to figure it out with the person close to you what a church looks like today. I gave you the first example, no, with the Tower of Babel and the city. How a church is are killing, how a church can be killed itself.
Jesus Christ.
But now, with the person close to you, you have 3 minutes to talk with that person. And try to figure it out in this story, what you see. It would be wonderful to have in a church in the 21st century. Okay? Okay, 3 minutes. Let's talk with the person close to you about that scripture.
Is it working? Okay. Who would like to share any thought that you discuss in the small group? Go ahead.
We're a church without towers, but with open doors. We welcome all to come in, and we go out and try to share with all.
That's wonderful, but remove the tower. Please, as soon as possible. Remove the tower, but that's really a great idea.
I think the Tower of Babel, or the City of Babel, is a great illustration, exactly the opposite of what we want.
Yeah.
Nice.
And last week, Chuck talked about
Amen.
That we want to be an incarnational church where we take our example from God, who became a person, sent his son to us, and his son went out. He didn't have a building, he didn't have. He went out and ministered in Galilee and Judea and all of the places and healed and spread the gospel. And we should be a church like that, where this building is a great place, but it's not us.
Right.
This church is us, the people, and we go out and minister and infused by the Holy Spirit. To go out and minister in the community, and then bring them back here, you know, to celebrate and to worship.
That's wonderful.
To be taught.
That's wonderful. We have then open doors and being infused by the Holy Spirit. Any other thoughts?
Happy. How can we get more Hispanics and Blacks to join our church?
No, don't invite Hispanics. They are horrible. Please, I beg you. No, just kidding. Well, that will be an evangelistic strategy. Yeah, I mean, that will be a question. I can answer that question at the end of the worship service. Okay?
I would like to see more children, younger people, teenagers, new life
come into this church. We get visitors every once in a while. Sometimes, like some of us that have a lot of family, they might come and visit and stuff, but they don't stay, you know. They go to these other bigger churches, like you say, where they can be, I think they want to be not even noticed, you know. If they're in a big group, they won't be noticed or missed or anything. If they come here, we might say, oh, we missed you last week.
Sure.
They will be more present, I think, in a church like this.
Okay, that's a good point. In the back.
One thing I would like to say, when I walked in this door, you know, it isn't who we always bring to a church. It's the ones that are here and stay and everything, the love that you get, and to know that when you're not here, you're missed. I'll tell you, I've been here over 5 years belonging to the church, and I love it. And you know, when you look around and you see the people, and we're beginning to get a few new faces here and there, and you know, God is working. Maybe slow, but sure.
Amen.
I mean, I believe this, but they've got probably 10 to a dozen other organizations that have a key to this church.
Yeah, I know. I know that you have a lot of work in the community. Any other thoughts?
I think the family element of the church, being family and being here for one another. And also, we were talking about the mission of God being the focus, not the church building. Yes, you have to have a budget, but not that being the focus of whether the doors are open. The mission will still exist. God's mission is still going to exist, and we're all still going to be family. If this building was to disappear, our mission would still be our mission, and that's God's mission, and that should be the focus.
Amen. Well, I love what I'm hearing. How about the scripture of the book of Acts? What thoughts you can take from there?
Well, the Tower of Babel, they wanted to speak many different languages. But at Pentecost, they did speak many different languages, but for a different purpose, for the glory of God, not for the glory of themselves.
Amen.
That's a really great point. And maybe this can answer your question about Hispanic.
Yes.
Because if you want to be a bicultural church, you need to move outside of your zone of comfort.
Yes.
Because one thing is to have the desire, and another thing is to take an action.
Yes. That's
right. You know what I'm talking about? I can have the desire to help you, but another thing is different to put my hand in my pocket and give you money. Have you known those Christians that they, I'm starving, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, provide everything right now, but they never take $1 out of the pocket. That's the difference. To be multicultural, church implies that we need cultural competency. That we need to discuss about the conflict between you being white and I am being Latino.
That's hard.
In other words, racism. That is not easy to talk in the churches. It's not easy to say, hey, you have privilege. I don't have. I'm sorry, I'm taking you as an example. And you say, no, yes, I can prove you that you have more privilege than me. And also power. And you are a female. But I can't demonstrate you. That's not easy to talk. But I love what you say. Because in the Pentecost, people could speak in different languages. And the gospel was spread out to each person. We hear that they are speaking in our native languages. That's one thing that we need to think. Any other thoughts about Acts, the event of Pentecost? What happened? Suddenly what happened?
Holy Spirit.
And what happened? And there was a noisy. Yeah. And there was what else?
Fire.
Fire. And what else?
Wind.
Wind. From time to time, we need to change the order of the things.
that we get used.
Yes.
Because every Sunday we have the same, we know. Oh, 100 years, we know. But when the things change, and the Holy Spirit is shaking us, you know, you wake up. We need that from time to time. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes we need that the Holy Spirit come and change the order of the things, and there is a spontaneous moments. There are moments to talk. There are moments to do something different. Have you heard this kind of sermons from time to time? No! Every time you're hearing someone from there, reading the manuscript, 12 minutes, 15, that's it. Let's change today. That's the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Last thought, someone who wanted to share the last thought about the events of Pentecost?
God welcomed all these different people from every nation, it says. God welcomed them all in. Do we welcome them all?
Do we welcome what?
All nations.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good.
Verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord over all, and generous to all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen. But again, that's very beautiful in the paper.
Yes.
Let's practice that every day.
Amen.
That's the more difficult aspect. That when you try to be
in that space is what is difficult. Pentecost is a miracle of communication. God wanted to talk to us in a different way. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit to the people who were expecting something different. But a miracle to disrupt and erupt our formality, our structures, to emancipate our spirits of years and years of tradition. God wants to communicate something to our generation, and we need to be in the expectation on something new coming every Sunday. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts and your ideas. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this community, for this congregation. We pray for our pastor Ruben, for his family, his parents, his friends. And I pray for this wonderful church that they have opened the doors for the community. We pray that you bless them, Father God, that the Holy Spirit comes suddenly in each moment, in every time that we are not aware of that, but that you are here with us. I pray that you bless them every Sunday and every moment. In your lovely name we pray. Amen.
Amen.